the Old Testament book of 1 Kings and go all the way down to chapter 19. It's on page one on my notes. 1 Kings chapter 19. Let me start off this morning by saying, I don't know what brought you through these doors this morning. I don't know what caused you to turn on your computer or your cell phone or your iPad or your television. I don't know what you carried in here this morning. I don't know what happened to you or in your life or around you this week. But I did come to tell somebody today, God is not finished with you yet. God is not finished with you yet. Listen, I don't know about the rest of you, but I've had more than one occasion in my life to say, you know what, I've had enough. I've had it up to here. God has got to be done with me. There's just, listen, He's not finished with you yet. I don't care how bad you've blown it. I don't care how many people have told you just well give up. I don't care what lie the devil has told you. I'm here to tell you, based upon God's Word, God is not finished with you yet. Somebody needs to hear that today. I don't think that the timing of this message is, I don't think it could be any more orchestrated than to follow what happened yesterday in the suicide awareness, because people give up their life because they think either God's finished with me, or I'm finished with me, or the world is finished with me. But today I believe God has given us a word to say, I am not finished with you yet. Regardless of what it looks like, God's not done. 1 Kings chapter 19, if you found that, would you just stand to your feet? And it's a long passage. I'm reading 18 verses. It's not the whole chapter, but I want to read through verse 18. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods, by the way, that's a little g. I think that's important to point out that's a little g. It's not a big g, that's a little g. It means lesser gods. Not the God, not the Alpha and the Omega, not the I Am. Lesser G. So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Then, as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And they looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. And so he ate and he drank and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And so he arose and he ate and he drank, and he said, arise, eat, ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And so he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." And then he said, "Go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and a strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." And so it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and Abel, Meho, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. And it shall be, whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. And I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knee have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth has not kissed him." Lord, what a mighty man of God you show us in this passage of Scripture. A man that has heard from heaven, a man that knows you, a man that has seen you do great and mighty things. And Lord, I pray right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, that you would help us to realize and to understand, God, that you and you alone determine when it is time to go. You're not finished with this man. You're not finished with us. And so, Lord, I pray right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, that you would move in this place on hearts and lives. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. How often have you faced disappointment? Anybody face disappointment? How about discouragement or despair? Listen, at one time or another, every human being faces disappointment, and most of us have felt discouraged at some point or another in our life. But I'm here to tell you this morning that despair or despondency are emotions that fewer of us experience. But sometimes a person's despair can be so deep that we lose heart and feel utterly hopeless. This man, this champion of God, this man we know as Elijah, he had just in chapter 18, if you know the story, he had just killed 450 prophets of Baal. He went on Mount Carmel and was there, and God used him in a mighty way, and he was there, it was like a showdown at the OK Corral on Mount Carmel. The prophets of Baal were there, and he said, "You guys just go ahead and do your thing and prepare your altars and your sacrifice. I mean, go ahead, just take your time, do whatever you want, and begin, and whoever's God answers by fire, that's God." Man, they did everything. And Elijah's over there. He's giving him the business. What? Maybe you're a little louder. Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's taking a nap. Maybe he's too busy. This, that, and the other thing. And they're over there cutting themselves. They're doing all this stuff, trying to get the attention of their God. And I kind of, you know, the story goes on. The implication is there that finally Elijah says, "Are you guys done? Are you done yet?" And then he says this. He repairs and restores the altar, and he prepares the sacrifice. And he said, "Now listen." He digs a trench around the thing. He does all the stuff. He says, "Now pour water all over this." And say, they poured water all over. And he said, "Pour water all over it again." They poured water all over it again. And he began to pray, and bam, fire fell and consumed and blah, blah, all the whole thing. And God said, this is the God. And they took the sword and they killed 450 of the prophets of Baal. And you got to know in his humanness that Elijah felt like, man, we showed him today, didn't we, God? And then he gets a letter. He gets a message from this wicked woman named Jezebel. This is right after this fantastic victory that Elijah has just been a part of. And Jezebel says, "By this time tomorrow, pilgrim, I'm going to kill you." That's what she was saying. And it freaked him out. One woman freaked him out. And he took off running. Under the weight and the burden of despair, a person's heart begins to faint and sense complete and total defeat. You may feel like you're finished, but I'm here to tell you this morning, God ain't finished with you yet. What feels like the end may only be a place where God is beginning to show you something new. How many of you know God needs to show some of us something new? Sometimes we need a new revelation of who God is and what He has for us. God has something new. I mean, listen, one of my favorite scriptures is Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, and it says, "Be confident." See, I think the problem is we've lost our confidence. We've lost our confidence. But he says, "Be confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." What he's saying is, don't stop here. And it speaks to every person that is tired, every person discouraged, every person that's hurting, every person that's ready to quit. Every month, church, every month between 1,200 and 1,500 pastors leave the ministry. Every month. That's the statistic. That ought to shock us. Listen, God isn't finished yet. When you read that or hear God isn't finished yet, it's telling them why they shouldn't stop. Don't stop. Keep going. Put one foot in front. Every morning when you wake up, the Bible says His mercies are new. You get a brand new day. You get a do-over. Don't stop. Don't stop. It tells them. Again, it tells them and it tells us. Why we and they shouldn't stop. Our current situation isn't the end of what God is doing in your life. What you're going through right now might be just preparing you for the next step. Don't stop here. When you're tired, don't stop. When you're disappointed, don't stop here. When you fail, don't stop here. When you can't see the way forward, don't stop here. When you feel alone, don't stop here. Keep going. Keep marching. I say this all the time, but there's an old country song. It's not even an old song. It's a fairly new song. It says, when you're going through hell, keep on going. You might get through it before the devil even knows you're there. We got to keep going. Don't stop here. When you've prayed and you haven't seen the answer, don't stop here. God, I'm telling somebody this morning, if not myself, I'm telling you, God's not finished yet. God isn't finished yet. Where you are today is not where God intends to leave you. Where you are today is not where God intends to leave you. You might think that your best days are behind you, but God still has a purpose ahead of you. The Scripture says that your latter days are going to be better than your former days. We've got something to live for. Tomorrow. Who knows? Elijah thought he was finished, but God gave him another assignment. There was still more for Elijah to do. Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. I think the problem in America is we're losing heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says, our mouth speaks. And I think it goes farther than our mouth speaking. I think our actions follow that. We've become so accustomed to the enemy having his way that I think by and large, sometimes we just give up on even praying. I prayed about that. God didn't show up. God didn't answer. Well, how do you know he hasn't answered? Maybe he's not answered yet in his time. Maybe he answered and said no. But you want yes, and so you're still blaming God that he hadn't answered the prayer because he said no. Don't let today's exhaustion make you abandon tomorrow's harvest. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 29. Another one of my favorite scriptures. Starting in verse 29, and he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Some of you this morning are carrying things that nobody knows about. You got stuff you're carrying around. You walked in the church this morning. You put a big old smile on your face. You made the determination, I'm gonna fake it till I make it. And that ain't altogether wrong. The problem is, church, we don't recognize sometimes the things that people are going through because some of you are carrying things that nobody knows about. Well, you sure seem to have an attitude today. And that's our response, frankly. But we don't know what's underneath that attitude. We don't know what that person just went through. We don't know what report that person got. We don't know the news that that person may have gotten this week. We don't know all the things. But because, you know, I'm usually a happy guy. I'm usually smiling all the time. People read me like a daggum encyclopedia, man. I mean, people either know I'm doing really good or I'm not. And I could try and fake it. People still know. People come up, hey. I knew it. We put these masks on that says I'm fine, when inside I'm dying. I got things in my heart of family members, and we don't have the answers. As guys, we're fixers. We want to fix everything, and there's some things we cannot fix. Only God can. But yet, as men, sometimes we carry those things around, and people are carrying things again. I'm going to say this until somebody understands that nobody knows about the things. Somebody might look fine on the outside, but be completely exhausted on the inside. But God gives strength, the Bible says, to the weary. God will give you strength, church. God is going to give you some strength. Listen, church, you're still here for a reason, and the world is better because you're here. Let me tell you about a lady in the Bible. Her name was Esther. Esther. Chapter 4 and verse 14. See, there were some things going on in the kingdom. There were plots. There were schemes. There were divisions, and there were factions and all these kinds of things. And they had a plot and they had a plan, and they were going to take them out. And Esther intervened. Listen, the queen couldn't just, even though she's the queen, she couldn't just go in and see the king anytime she wanted to. Hello. But she had news that was so vital, so important, that she laid aside all the tradition. She laid aside all the formalities. She took her life in her own hands. And in chapter 4 and verse 14, it is said in that verse, "And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" She went in and she told the king all that was going on, even knowing that it could cost her life for going in that the king's palace where he was at without being invited by the king. You ever have news that's so important that you don't care? The cool thing about our God is in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, he says there we can come into his throne room anytime we want, boldly. And she went in and she told him all that was going on and foiled the plot. And the gallows that were built to hang Mordecai on were used to hang the plotters on. Because she defied the rule and went before the king. She is here for a reason. You're still here for a reason. Whatever you're facing right now, don't make it a permanent decision based upon a temporary place of pain. Let me say that again. Whatever you're facing right now, don't make a permanent decision. Listen, I don't care what you're on them video games, you just hit reset and you start over. You get shot, you get killed, you just hit reset or whatever, and you get to go again. It's not that way in life. When you're dead, you're dead. God has something ahead of you. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. The moral of this whole story is that God isn't finished yet. Sometimes God's people get tired. We get tired. God met Elijah where he was. God didn't define Elijah by his lowest moment. Understand that, church. Your lowest moment is not how God sees you. It is not how God sees you. God asked Elijah a question. God gave him something to do. He said, don't stop in the middle of the story. Don't let a temporary place become your permanent decision. God still had a future for Elijah. Elijah's story in chapter 18, he just won this great victory. And then and then in a moment, he was plunged into despair. Oh, man, she's going to kill me. And he took off. He ran for his life. He got tired. How many of you know you shouldn't be making important decisions when you're wore out, when you're tired, when you're under trauma or stress? Don't, in those moments, don't make those kinds of decisions. He got tired. He was discouraged. He wanted to quit, but God showed up. If you'll just wait a minute, God will show up. If you'll just get before Him and begin to worship Him and praise Him, God will show up. God met him there. He restored him and he reminded him, listen, you're not alone. Can I tell you this morning, in the midst of your chaos, in the midst of your crisis, in the midst of your despair and your discouragement, your disillusionment, and all those kinds of things, the Bible still declares, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm with you always wherever you go. I'm going to be there. You go this way, I'm there. If you turn and go this way, I'm right there. He's with us. He goes with us everywhere we go. I'm telling you, God gave him another assignment. He reminded him he wasn't alone. Elijah still had a future. God is not finished yet. Understand that this morning. God is not finished. Maybe you've been sitting under your own tree. I'll just let that soak for a minute. Anybody got a tree? Anybody been sitting under that tree? Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm just going to eat worms and die. I don't know what he ate in that story in verse 9, in chapter 19. I don't know what he ate and I don't know what he drank, but man, that must have been some stuff. Because did you catch what it said? It sustained him for 40 days and 40 nights. That's some good biscuits and gravy. Wow. Woo! That's some good jambalaya. I don't know what that stuff was, but it was good. God's not finished. Maybe you've been sitting under your own tree. Maybe you're exhausted. Maybe you're disappointed. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you've been asking God, how much longer? How much longer? Because I'm not sure how much more I can take. You can take it until God's done with you. He said, I'll not let any more come upon you than what you can handle. I came to tell you this morning, don't stop here. Don't stop. It's not the end of your story. It is not the end of your story. Your circumstance may have told you you're finished. The enemy may have told you you're finished. Your mistakes may have been telling you, listen, you're finished. But I'm here to tell you, God says, I'm not finished with you yet. I'm not finished with you. There's still purpose. There's still purpose. There's still hope. There's still a reason for you to get up. There's still a reason to keep walking. You might know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow. So don't stop here. Get up. Keep walking. Keep believing. Keep praying. Because God is not finished yet. He's not. Elijah stopped under the tree, but God said to him in that moment, this is not where your story ends. this is not where your story ends. The tree might be where you're hurting, but it doesn't have to be where you stay. Sometimes someone just needs to hear, sit down and breathe. Just take a break. Just sit down. If I don't keep going, if I don't keep doing, if I don't keep being busy, if I don't keep all this stuff. I mean, hey, have you ever chased chickens? Anybody ever chased chickens? Listen, the best way to chase chickens is with a 12 gauge. I'm just saying. Glory. We're going to have a chicken. We're going to have chicken fry. Listen, that's where the phrase, get your ducks in a row. You can't get them in a row. As soon as you do, they're gone. They're off and running, doing something else. I'm telling you, sometimes we just need the chicken. They're going to get away if I don't. And we run and run and run and run and run and run. And we just wear ourselves out to the point of collapse trying to catch the chickens. They'll be all right. They'll be all right. Go sit down. Have a cup of coffee. Have a glass of iced tea. Sit down and quit chasing stuff. Take a break. Sit down. Breathe. You're not alone. Let me help you. God, I think sometimes God's screaming at us, just sit down. Be still and know that I am God. Wait patiently. We don't do that. We don't do that. We just run in here and there. Sit down. You ever have a dad tell you, sit down, shut up? Woo. We have a father this morning that's saying, sit down. Take a break. All work and no play makes Jack a very dull boy. You're not alone. Let me help you. That's the heart of God. Sometimes prayer is simply saying, God, I'm tired. I'm tired. God, I'm hurting. God forbid that any church people would pray this prayer. But sometimes prayer is simply, God, I don't understand. I don't understand. Can I just share with you this morning? God can handle that. God can handle that. You're not going to freak Him out. He already knows. He already knows. Just because God isn't making a lot of noise doesn't mean God isn't working. Just because you can't hear all the hustle and bustle, angels' wings and all this stuff flying around and things happening, it doesn't mean that God's not working. Remember, He spoke in a still, small voice. It wasn't the thunder. It wasn't the earthquake. It wasn't the fire. It wasn't all that stuff. It was the still, small voice. Sometimes what we feel is true isn't necessarily what is true. Oh, come on, preacher. Sometimes what we feel is true isn't necessarily what is true. You might feel forgotten, but that doesn't mean that God has forgotten you. You might feel alone, but that doesn't mean that you're alone. I already declared it. He said in His Word, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You may feel alone, but that doesn't mean you're alone. You might feel like it's over, But it is not over. It does not mean that God is finished with you. God didn't just rescue Elijah from the tree. He gave him somewhere to go. He's got somewhere for you to go. You know how I know that? Because he said so in his word. Go ye. I had the privilege Friday night of speaking at the men's retreat up at the camp up Little River. And the message, the camp theme was answering the call. And they gave me a choice of who I wanted to share and to preach about to these men that would challenge them to answer the call of God. And I chose Moses. I love Moses. But think about what would have happened if Moses had not answered the call. The children of Israel would not have been delivered. The Red Sea would not have parted. All these things, Joshua would not have had a mentor like he had in Moses. Think about the tragedy of you and I not. I mean, David was a sheep herder. Moses was a sheep herder. He is out on the backside of the desert somewhere tending Jethro's sheep when this bush catches on fire but doesn't burn. That will freak you out. And so he went over there to see what was going on. And the angel of the Lord began to speak to him out of the bush. Answer the call. You might feel forgotten. You might feel alone. You might feel like it's over. But I'm telling you, God's got a place for you to go. God still has a purpose for your life. There is still work to be done. And there is still influence to make in people's life. There's still somebody that needed to hear what Elijah carried. There's somebody that needs to have what you are holding inside of you. Your life still has purpose. Turn to your neighbor and just tell him, your life still has purpose. Tell them like you mean it. Not horsing around. Tell them, look them dead square in the eye and tell them, listen, you have purpose. Your life still has purpose. Our lives have purpose. God did not come and rebuke Elijah when he was under the tree. God just simply met him there. And listen to me, church, if you're under the tree today, I'm not here to condemn you. God is not here to condemn you. I guarantee you, I've spent my fair share of time sitting under a tree, hiding out. I've been there. I'm not here to tell you that you shouldn't be hurting. I'm here to remind you that God knows where you are. God knows where you are. I'm here to remind you that God sees what you're carrying and that God is willing to meet you right there. God is willing to meet you right there. So don't be ashamed of the chapter of life that you're in. Remember, the Bible says that God is the author and the finisher of your faith. He didn't start the story and then leave it up to you to end. Boy, that was good. That was good. He's the author and the finisher. And here's another key point that you need to probably write down in the leaflet of your Bible. He does not need an editor. He don't need you to edit your story that he is the author of. Don't be ashamed of the chapter you're in. God can use even the chapter you wish you could erase. Your pain can become compassion. Your pain can become compassion. Your testimony can become someone else's encouragement. Let me tell you what God did for me. I know you're going through hell and high water right now. I know every devil in hell is chasing you down. I know it don't look like you're going to win. I know it looks like there's no hope for you. But let me just tell you, let me just take a moment and tell you what God did for me. Because I was right where you are. I felt that. I understand the pain that you're going through. But I'm telling you, God showed up. And when God shows up, all bets are off. He will change some things. Your survival can be somebody else's reason to keep going. God can take the place where you thought your story was ending and use it as part of the testimony that He's building in your life. He can. So if you're here, if you're under the tree today, hear me. You don't have to pretend that you're not hurting. Here's an important one. You don't have to pretend like you have all the answers. Well, you're a Christian. You're supposed to have all the answers. You're a church. You're the pastor. You should. Hey. He's still working on me. He's still working. I don't know how the rest of it goes, but yeah, make me what I ought to be. Thank you, daughter. Come on, Kathy. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't even have to know what tomorrow looks like. You don't. When the Lord finally came and began to speak to Elijah, it wasn't to rebuke him. It wasn't even to instruct him, but to ask him a question. Are you ready? For the question? I'll do the preaching. Tell you what. What are you doing here? That's the question. What are you doing here? The prophet's reply really didn't really answer the question, which explains why God asked it a second time. Elijah only told the Lord, "You already knew." He experienced many trials in his ministry, but he had been faithful to the Lord. But if he was a faithful servant, what was he doing hiding in a cave located hundreds of miles from his appointed place of ministry? What are you doing? Here's what God was saying to Elijah. You called fire from heaven. You had the prophets of Baal slain, all 450 of them. You prayed and a terrific rainstorm came down. But now you feel like a failure. But you must realize that I don't usually work in a manner that is loud, impressive, and dramatic. God says to him, "My still, small voice brings the word to the listening ear and heart. Be still and know that I am God." Hear me, church. Hear me, all you that are watching this morning by way of the internet. Don't stop here. Don't stop where you are, because I'm here to declare to you this morning, God isn't finished yet. God is not finished yet. I look across this sanctuary this morning, and as I'm preaching, and there's tears that are flowing because somebody understands that the truth of this message is that we want to give up, we want to stop, but God is telling you this morning, God's not done. There's still hope. There's still a purpose. There's still a plan. Your failure didn't negate everything that God has in store for you. Your latter days are going to be better than your former days. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. You can't fix yesterday. You can't do a thing about yesterday. You can only repent and move forward. All we can do is come before the Lord and say, God, if you can use anything, you can use me. We need to come to the place where we declare, here am I, Lord, use me. Not everybody's going to be happy about that. Not everybody's going to be happy with the decisions that you make. But your job is not to make everybody happy. Your job is to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your job is to make heaven happy. Your job is to be used of God, to be obedient to God, because obedience is better than sacrifice according to the Word of God. And I'm here to declare to you this morning, God is not finished with you yet. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. So if you bow your heads with me this morning, bow your heads and be praying. Just pray. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Do what only you can do, Lord.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Who are you? Say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am falling short when I don't belong. You say I am yours, and I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. I believe. The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me.
Come on, church, lift your voice. Make this your prayer.
In you I find my worth. In you I find my worth.
In you I find my identity.
You say I am when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short and when I don't belong. You say I am yours, and I believe. matters now. The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me.
Hallelujah.
In you I find my worth. It's in you
I find my identity.
Say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, you say all I have, taking all I have, and now I'm laying it at your feet.
You see that in your mind right now.
You have every failure, God. You have every victory.
Every failure, every victory, just lay it down.
You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing.
Hallelujah.
You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, you say
bowed and eyes are closed. We fight those voices in our head. We fight the enemy that tells us God's done with you. God can't use you. God won't use you. God is finished with you. God's word says, don't stop here. Only believe. What are you doing here? The greatest attacks come after the greatest victories so often. Today, the greatest victory is not in the miraculous healings and those kinds of things. The greatest victory today is when you say yes to Jesus and no to the enemy. The greatest victory is when you say, God, I need you. I need to rededicate my life. I need to surrender to you. Maybe for the very first time. And say, God, forgive me. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but today, because you said that God's not finished with me, I want to take you at your word and take God at His word, and I want to surrender and give my life to Jesus. If that's you and you've never accepted Him before, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all, say, preacher, that's me. Anybody at all, say, preacher, that's me. Maybe you're here and you surrendered your life to the Lord at one point or another. Am I not working? Is this working? Oh, you want to say something? Well, say something.
We had 12 men went to men's retreat this weekend. And part of that program, oh, I got to say, our pastor rocked it Friday night. I mean, he did the deed. And Saturday morning, they had a different type of service. It wasn't nobody did a sermon. It was testimonies. And each person had to come and give a testimony, and somebody else sat in the chair and waited until their turn. And there was a lot of things came out from a lot of people there that we have every day in our lives that we don't even realize it. And all of a sudden you're listening to somebody else talk about it, and you realize, this is me. And it starts stacking up and stacking up and stacking up and stacking up.
Yes, yes.
And you say, good grief. What's happened here? But then the one thing that we don't remember sometimes is no matter how much there is there or how much it stacks up, which won't happen if you do what you're supposed to do, you got to give it to God. Give it to God. He's here. He's waiting for you to open your heart. Put him in there.
He's not finished with you.
You gotta do that. People ask me, I've been doing fire EMS for how long, babe? 47 years. I've seen things that... I've seen things that would drive most people crazy. The suicide rate, which we celebrated this weekend over here, to get rid of it, right?
Right.
The suicide rate in fire EMS people is the highest in the nation. And
help.
I get asked a lot of times, how do you put up with this? I've done CPR on people that I went to school with that were my friends, people that are family, church members that were family. I've seen a lot of this. And people say, well, how do you survive this? How do I survive it? Well, God hasn't told me to quit it yet, so I'm still doing it.
Right.
And the only reason is because I learned to give it to God.
Thank you, Lord.
When you got things that are bothering you,
thank you,
that you don't think you can carry, give it to God. Get on your knees up here on this altar when you need to be there. Don't sit back there and say, oh, not me. I'm not getting up there. I'm going to embarrass myself in front of all those people. It's not an embarrassment. It's enlightenment. It's joy. These people sitting back here have just got joy for you when you come up here and get on your knees. Because they know you're letting God in and God's going to take care of you.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I'm not preaching. I'm out of here.
Amen. Amen. Good word, team. Part two. Bow your heads. Maybe you're here today. And you've listened to those lies. And you've drifted away. And this morning, the Spirit of the Lord has revealed to you that you're way far away from where you need to be. The Spirit of the Lord is asking you, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? I have a purpose and a plan for your life. But I can't use you when you're off out here. so this morning I'm going to ask again, if you need to recommit and rededicate your life to Jesus, I'm going to just ask you to just slip your hand up so I can pray with you. You want to recommit and rededicate, get serious with God. I see those hands, you can put them down. Anybody else say, preacher, that's me. I'm recommitting my, yes ma'am, I see your hand, you can put it down. Somebody else say, preacher, that's me. I determined today I'm going to do things that God is, I'm going to quit listening and I'm going to do what God's called me to do. Anybody else today? Say, preacher, that's me. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Somebody else, preacher, that's me. I want to be used of God. If you raise your hand, get up and come right now. Don't wait, just get up and come. Just get up and come. Come on, just get up and come. Just get up and come. Listen.
You say I am loved.
God is a good God. And He is going to make some changes. There are going to be some things that begin to take place in your lives because of this day, because of this word, because you've been obedient to the Lord and you're answering Him and say, listen, here am I, send me. From the oldest to the youngest, I'm telling you, God has a purpose and a plan. Maybe you need to just get out of your comfort zone. Maybe you need to make the determination that I'm done just coming to church and sitting on the back of my lap until Pastor finally says amen and I can run for the door. I'm going to challenge you this morning in the midst of this altar call. Get up out of your chair. You're saved. We know that. That's not the question. But you just need to come and spend some time and say, God, here I am. Use me. If you would come and be in this altar and just begin to pray and let God have a moment of your time. Just come and worship Him and pray and seek His face. Let Him have His way. For those of you that are here today to recommit your life, pray this with me right quick, would you? Say, dear Lord, today I make the determination I will follow You from this day forward. I will answer the question, what am I doing here? And I will answer with, here I am, use me. God, I thank You for saving my soul, for leaving the 99 and coming after me. Refresh me, renew me, and restore me for Your service, for Your kingdom. Give me the words to say to those You bring to me to lead to Jesus, and I'll do it. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Come on, church. Let's begin to worship the Lord. Let's begin to spend some time with Him. Let's begin to seek His face. I am loved.
When I can't feel it,
precious Lord.
You say I am strong when I think I